So we're holding by the Mishnah on Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis. Previously, the previous Mishnah and the Gemara on it were about the case you find tefillin out in the field and you need to do something to save them from Bizoyan. So now we're going to have similar dinim. Now we're going to have a similar discussion about other kinds of Sfarim, what you can do to save them from Bizoyan. The Sfarim that we're talking about over here are made like scrolls, like Sifrei Torah. In those times, all of the Sfarim they had were made in that format. They only developed the concept of a book with pages like we have later on. I think I mentioned before, they even found, I think in the Cairo Gniza or someplace like that, they found a fragment of a Gemara written in the form of a scroll, like a Sefer Torah. The Rambam actually mentioned such a thing also in Hilchos Ma'alva V'Loiva when he's talking about a certain Gusa in the Gemara over there and what implication it has. La Halacha, he says, I got a hold of a Gemara from about 500 years ago that was written like a Sefer Torah, and I found such and such a Gusa in it. So yeah, at the beginning they used to, so in the times of the Gemara, they used to write all their Sfarim like that, like scrolls. Later on, we have the concept of books with pages. Anyway, so now the Mishnah says, if a person is reading from a sefer, again, a scroll like this, sitting on the iskupa. Now, an iskupa is a stoop in front of a house. We're going to see in the Gemara, are we talking about the iskupa as Rosh HaYachid or Kaimelis? What kind of Rosh HaYachid is it in front of it? We'll get to that in the Gemara. Vinis gaugel a sefer miyadei. One end of the sefer rolled out of his hand. So the other end he's still holding, but the one end rolled away off the iskupa over Rosh HaRabim, into Rosh HaRabim, as we'll see. Goyloi etzloi, so the din is he's allowed to roll it back towards him. Now the point is over here. One point we have to realize is this is it's a case called ogdoi biyodoi, meaning that if, for example, the iskupa was Rosh HaYachid and in front of it is Rosh HaRabim and the whole sefer fell into Rosh HaRabim, nothing doing bizoyan of sfarim. Okay, but you still can't be over on Isurim Daraisa in order to save it, and taking it from Rosh HaRabim back to Rosh HaYachid would be an Isur Daraisa. One thing that helps save the situation over here is that it's Oigdei Biyodei, one end of the sefer is still in your hand. And Bechlal, if you have such a thing, if you have something where one end of it is in Rosh HaRabim and the other end of it is in Rosh HaYachid, then on a Daraisa level, at least, bringing it into one Rosh Chus or to the other is not over on an Isur Daraisa. So therefore, so the Mishnah is telling us then that you can be that even though it would be also the Rabbanon, as we'll see in the Gemara, nevertheless we're going to allow him in this case. Again, the Gemara is going to talk about a couple of different possibilities, what exactly the scenario is over here. Continues the Mishnah. Hoya kore berosh hagag. What about on the other hand if he's sitting on top of the roof and reading? Venis gargal a sefer miyodei, and then the sefer rolled out of his hand. Now the iskupa, we said, could be kaimelis, could be Rosh HaYachid. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. But the roof is definitely Rosh HaYachid, and then the end of the sefer rolled away from him. So actually gil asarat fachim, if he catches it before the end of the sefer reaches within 10 tefachim of the ground. So therefore, or let's say the sefer wasn't long enough and the end of it is still hanging 10 tefachim above the ground. 10 tefachim above Rosh HaRabim, as we know, is Makom Patur. So therefore, in other words, it landed in Makom Patur. So therefore, Goyloi Etzlai, you would be allowed to roll it back towards yourself and bring it back up onto the roof. Once the end of it reaches within 10 tefachim of the ground, now you have a problem. Now the end of it is in Rosh HaRabim. So we're not going to allow you to take it back in. Now we'll see in the Gemara, why not? If we just allowed you in the case with the iskupa, why are we not allowing it over here? We'll get to that point. But once it reached within 10 tefachim of the ground, so now the end of it is considered to be in Rosh HaRabim, so you can't take it back in for the rest of Shabbos. What you do is you turn it over with the writing side down, because at least that way you have less bizoyan to the sefer, that the writing is facing down, is facing away from Rosh HaRabim, away from anybody who will see it or could do something to it or whatever. This way, at least you have it turned over more respectfully. By the way, we'll talk about in the Gemara a certain din that results from that's Negea nowadays with Sfarim. Okay, so that's the Tanakama, that all you can do is turn it over in that case. You can't bring it back in because the end of it is within 10 tefachim of the ground. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Afilo ein mesulak min ha'aretz elakim loy machat. Even if the end of it is only the width of a needle off the ground, so the end of it is not actually touching the ground, but it's well within 10 tefachim of the ground, still he says, you can still roll the sefer back to yourself. Because after all, again, as we said, one end of it is in your hand. So the Tanakama had said the reason we don't want to allow that, if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, is because what if the whole thing falls out of your hand? Then you're going to be oivran and isur daraisa. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that as long as it's not actually on the ground. And so therefore we have two things for the good. Number one, it's not actually lying on the ground. And number two, it's oyvei biyadei, then we're going to allow you to take it back in. Reb Shimon says a third possibility. Afilu ba'aretz atzma goyalei etzlei. No, even if the end of it fell onto the actual ground, you'll be able to roll it back up and bring it to yourself. Because there's no shvus, no isu d'rabbanon of Shabbos that stands in the way of saving Kisrei HaKodesh from Bizoyim. Over here, the gzeira again is that if the whole thing were to fall out of his hand and fall into Rosh Hasharabim, then it would be osur. So Reb Shimon is saying it doesn't matter whether it actually landed on the ground or not. Even if it landed on the ground, the fact is you still have the factor to the good that oigdei biyadei, which means that on a daraisa level it's not considered carrying from rishus to rishus because one end of it has been in your hand in the rishus that you're in rishus yachid the whole time. Therefore, Reb Shimon says the whole thing is only an isur derabbanan, and an isur derabbanan can't prevent you from saving Kisrei HaKodesh, he says. So the Gemara starts off, Hai iskupa hechidami. What is the scenario exactly with this iskupa? Is it a Rosh HaSayachid? Is it a Carmelist? I lema iskupa Rosh HaSayachid v'kama Rosh HaSarabim. Are you going to say that we're talking about the iskupa itself is a Rosh HaSayachid? So it's 4x4 tfachim or more, and it's at least 10 tfachim off the ground. And in front of a Kama Rosh HaSarabim, in front of it is a Rosh HaSarabim, and we're saying that even though one end of the Sefer is now located in Rosh HaSarabim, you're still going to be able to pull it back to yourself. Now, we're not going to make a gzera that it would easily be confused with the case where the whole thing fell down, and then if you carry it from the Shasarabim onto the Iskupa, which is Rosh HaSayachid, you're actually being Oivan and Isur Daraisa, and everybody holds you can't be Oivan and Isur Daraisa to save Kisrei HaKodesh. So, Mani, so who would that be like? That first part of the Mishnah, Reb Shimon. He apparently that's Reb Shimon's opinion from later in the Mishnah. He says that a Isur Derabbanan can never prevent you from saving Kisrei HaKodesh. So therefore, in this case, even though one end of it is actually lying on Rosh HaSarabim, nevertheless you can bring it back in. That's what the Mishnah seems to be saying. That's what we're saying. He was sitting on the Iskupa, which is Rosh HaSayachid. And we're still saying, just like at the end of the Mishnah, when he's sitting on his roof, and Reb Shimon allows him to bring back the scroll to him, even though the other end is actually lying in Rosh HaSarabim, the same thing. In the beginning of the Mishnah, he's allowing the same thing with an Iskupa for the same reason, right? The problem with that is Eima Sefer. Look at the next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilu Ein Masulak Min Ha'aretz Ela Malay Achut. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if it's only a needle's width off the ground, Goylalay Etzloy, then you can roll it back to you. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that as long as it's within 10 tefachim, it's fine, not like the Tanakama, but at least he's going to require that it is off the ground, that it's not actually lying on the ground in Rosh HaSarabim. And then the Mishnah continues, Reb Shimon Omer Afilu Ba'aretz Atzma Goylalo Yetzloy, and Reb Shimon continues and says, even if the end of it is on the ground, then you're allowed to pick it back up and bring it back. So what's going on? Reishav Sefer Reb Shimon Mitziyosa Reb Yehuda. Do we have a Mishnah over here where the beginning is according to Reb Shimon, then the middle is according to Reb Yehuda, and then we go back to Reb Shimon? It's not usual to do like that. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, we always have to distinguish between Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, and Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora. So Omer Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda, the Amora says, "Ain, yes, we can say that Reisha v'Sefer of Shimon Metziyaset of Yehuda. We could say that that's how the Mishnah is. In other words, the Mishnah first tells us the din of the Iskupa, then it explains to us. You should know that actually not everybody agrees with that din. That Goliatzli, in fact, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon are disagreeing about it." Rabba gives a different answer. What we're talking about over here, yes, we're talking about an eskupa which is rishas hayachid. However, it's nidresses, it's regularly being stepped on. Many people are regularly going in and out of a house by way of this eskupa. So then you have a real bizoyan of Kisra HaKodesh if you're going to be required to leave the sefer there for the entire Shabbos, where people are going to accidentally step on it. So umishum bizoyan Kisra HaKodesh shorer rabbanon. So for the sake of avoiding bizoyan of Kisra HaKodesh, then even Rabbi Yehuda will allow us. So therefore, the ratio of the Mishnah could be even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because unlike the second case of the Mishnah, which is talking about a roof. When one end of it fell off the roof and is hanging down the wall over there, there's less of a bazillion. Nobody's climbing up the wall over there. So therefore, fine, if you have to leave it there the whole Shabbos and just turn it over, then you do that. But here, you're talking about an eskupa that's constantly being stepped on. If you have to leave it like that, even upside down, for the rest of Shabbos, it's going to be a tremendous bazillion to it, because people are going to be walking, and not everybody is going to be careful not to step on it. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabba, will allow you to roll it back in.
Question.
One second, Abba Moshe. Ellie, you're asking about, and a skupa is not really a ledge. And a skupa is a stoop in front of a house. Like you have in many of the houses in Crown Heights over here, have in front of them steps on the outside. So that's sort of like an skupa actually would be more like it's one solid thing. Maybe more you could think of it as sort of like a loading dock or something. Like you have people walk up and they step on this skupa and then they step from it into the house. So it is being stepped on. What were you going to ask, Avraham Moshe?
There's no chakira of yanacha, and there's no intent to let the scroll go down. And so how can you say that you compare it to taking it from one reshus to another?
Because let's consider, you're asking there's no akira of anocha, and there's no, well, in this particular case, because one end of it is still in your hand, you're right, there's no real akira of anocha. That's what I'm saying before about Og Debiyade. But consider, what if the whole scroll were to fall off into Rishas Rabin? Then would there be intent to carry? Yeah, there would be. You didn't mean to drop it in Rosh Hashanah Abim. Fine, we're not talking about you chayev for that. But what would happen if then you picked it up from Rosh Hashanah Abim and brought it back onto the Iskupa? Then there's intent to bring it back in. Then there's an Akira and a Hanocha. Sure, you'd be chayev. So therefore, so to a certain extent, so we have to discuss the question, what exactly are we gozer and what are we not gozer over here when we're dealing with Kisrei HaKodesh?
There was no intent to let it drop in Rosh Hashanah Abim.
That's fine. Right. Once it fell into Rosh Hashanah Abim, then if you were to bring it back in, then it would be an Issu Daraisa if the Iskupa is Rosh Hashanah Yachid and in front of it is Rosh Hashanah Abim. And therefore, the question is, what Xeris do and don't we impose in this case, even in this particular case, where there is no Issu Darabanan, where there is no Issu Daraisa, I mean, because one end of it is still in his hand, Oy Gebiyade. That's what we're dealing with over here. The question of, if the whole thing had fallen into Rosh Hashanah Abim, there would be an Issu Daraisa to pick it back up. So now, when the whole thing didn't fall into Rosh Hashanah Abim, what exactly do we say? What can we do and what can't we do? So again, Reb Shimon is the most makel, says you can do anything to bring it back in. Well, so actually, in the first case of the Iskupa, we didn't find the machloikas in the Mishnah. That's what we're trying to figure out. Is that according to everybody? The part about the Iskupa, is that according to everybody? And only when it comes to the roof do you have the machloikas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Or is it that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would disagree about the Iskupa as well? So Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, says that yes, they would argue about that as well. The din that we said about the Iskupa is only according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi is telling us that because the Iskupa is nidresis, because it's being stepped on all the time, therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would be makel and allow you to bring it back in, because again, you do have the saving grace of Og Debiyade, that one end of it is in your hand, and therefore that prevents there from being a possible Malacha Daraisa over here. Well, that's neither here nor there. Well, maybe. I mean, you're rolling it less than four at a time, maybe. But the fact is, you're still, the Pashas, we're not talking about necessarily that you're rolling it. We're talking, you're picking up, you pick up the other end and bring it to yourself, maybe. I don't know. I mean, maybe, okay. But still, apparently, it would be considered. Yeah, okay, but still, if the whole thing had fallen down, you would obviously have to pick it up. So you also, it would still, right, that's the point, you can't, that's why we have to make it. But here he's holding it, and he's rolling it, okay, well, that's what we mean. One end of it is in his hand, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. Eisvei Abaya, however, Abaya says to Rabbi, I have a problem with that. Look at the words of the Mishnah. Toich Dalar Amos, not the Mishnah, Braisa rather says, Toich Arba Amos, Toich Dalar Amos Gordoloy Etzloy. There's another consideration, the Braisa says, if the end of the Sefer rolled more than 4 Amos away from the Iskupa, then Gordoloy Etzloy, sorry, less than 4 Amos away, then you can still roll it back to yourself, because after all, even it's still less than 4 Amos away, so therefore you have less of an Isser. If it's outside of 4 amos, then you just have to turn it over. You just have to turn it face down and leave it that way for the rest of Shabbos. The e amit be scooping the dresses a skinen. If you're telling me we're talking about an escupa that's constantly being stepped on, mali toch dal amos, mali chutz lab amos, then what's the difference inside of 4 amos or outside of 4 amos? Either way, you're allowing it because of the bizoyin. So then, the same thing. Now, when it's 4 amos away in Rosh Hashanah, let's consider. Then you have two things. You have this carrying 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, and you have then this carrying it from one Rosh Hashanah to another. So you're telling me, Rabbah, that the key thing is there's bizoyin over here because it's an escupa on a dresses. Therefore, we're going to allow you to, because Oig Dibiyode, to bring it back in. Well, Oig Dibiyode should also allow you to bring it even if the end of it is more than 4 amos away in Rosh Hashanah. Because what's the difference? Either way, you still have the bizoyin that people are going to be stepping on the escupa. The fact that the Braisa distinguishes between them and says that if it's outside 4 amos, then even though it's an escupa, you still can't bring it back in, you have to only turn it over, implies that there's something more here than just the question of escupa on addresses. Ella, Omer Abayas, Abayas says no. Hocha be iskupa karmelis askinon. What we're talking about over here is the iskupa is actually not a rishus yachad at all. It's a karmelis. So it's 4x4, but it's less than 10 tvachim off the ground. And it's between, on the one side of it is the house, which is rishus yachad. On the other side of it is the street, which is rishus rabin. So therefore, rishus rabin may veris lefonel. And there's a rishus rabin in front of this iskupa. So now that makes things different. So now, if it fell within 4 amos, if the end of it fell within 4 amos of the iskupa, now let's consider what would happen in that case. Suppose he dropped the entire sefer. If he were to pick up that sefer and bring it from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, carrying it less than 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and bring it onto the iskupa, which is a chaimelis, would he be over on an Isser D'oraisa? No. There's no way that he can be over on an Isser D'oraisa in this case, because to carry from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to chaimelis is only an Isser D'rabbanan. So loy osi de chiyuv chatas. He's not going to come to something which will be chayuv chatas. Therefore, shoro le rabbanan. Therefore, the chachamim will allow him to bring it back in. But if it's outside 4 amos, if you bring it in, then you might be over on an issue. If the whole thing had fallen into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then you could be over on an issue Daraisa. Just carrying it 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is enough to make him chayav Daraisa. So therefore, loy shorer le'rabbanan. Therefore, the chachamim are not going to allow him to do it, and therefore he has to turn it over. So that's Abaya saying that. So in other words, we have three answers in the Gemara. We have Rabbi Yehuda's answer that in fact this din about the iskupa is not according to everybody. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, would disagree with it, just like he disagrees in the case of the roof. We have Rabba's explanation that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon would both agree that it's mutter by an iskupa, but we have to be talking about an iskupa on a dresses where the iskupa is being stepped on, and then we have Abaya's. And we have a bias answer that it depends whether that bringing the brisa, but 4 amos that the iskupa is not both. So both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba's answers require us to say that the iskupa is a rishus yachid. A bias answer says that the iskupa we're talking about is actually a karmelis, and that's why the 4 amos versus less than 4 amos makes a difference. It comes out, by the way, It comes out that the from what we're saying, if we're talking about a case of caramelists, then maybe it's not even a matter of kisvei hakodesh specifically. Maybe we would say that the same din applies to other things also. If you're holding a yo-yo and one end of it falls into and when one end of it falls into Rosh Hashanah Abim. After all, it's within four amos, and then there's no way that you could be over on an isur d'oraisa even if the whole thing fell. So maybe you should be allowed even in that case, even though it's not kisvei hakodesh, to bring it back in. Tosfos in fact says just that. According to Abaya's answer, we would say that anything that as long as you're sitting on an escopa camelus and the thing fell and one end of it fell within four amos of the escopa into Rosh Hashanah Abim, you would be allowed to pull it back because then you have a few things for the good. Number one, you have oig de biyodoy, so anyway, it's not really carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And even if it wasn't oig de biyodoy, there's no way that you could be over on an isur d'oraisa over here because it's Rosh Hashanah Abim and camelus. So therefore, you should be allowed to. On the other hand, many Rishonim disagree with that and say that even so, Abaya's answer still only works with Kisvei HaKodesh. It wouldn't work for other kinds of things. That's how it's Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that only when you're reading on a Sefer, from a Sefer on the Iskupa, aside from that also, actually, you have the question, between Rabba's and Abaya's answers, who is the Halacha like? So you have a number of the Rishonim, the Rambam among them, Paskin like Abaya. That, in other words, that if the Iskupa was a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then you wouldn't really have a heter to bring it back in, because the fact is it's a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and in front of it is a Rosh Hashanah Abim, and therefore nothing doing. Even less than four. Rabbah didn't make that distinction about less than four. The other way around. Yeah, so according to Abaya's explanation, it would come out that if it was Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then nothing doing. Only if it's a caramelist can we talk about whether you bring it back in. On the other hand, according to Rabba's explanation, Rabba is more makel and says it will work even if it's an eskupa Rosh Hashanah Yachid, as long as it's an eskupa on addresses. The Baal Amor says the halacha should be like Rabba. Not like Abaya's answer, but rather like Rabba's answer, that it would work even if it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, as long as it's in a skupa and addresses. That is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam actually paskins differently. The Rambam is one of the Rishonim who paskins like Abaya's answer, like Abaya's answer over here in his Machmir. So you have in Perek Echad of Rambam the other day, that Rambam mentioned this din and discussed the question of whether it fell within four amos or outside of four amos. But the Baal Amor paskins like Rabba, and in Shulchan Aruch it follows suit. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether. So therefore, it's not a matter of within four amos or outside of four amos. It's a matter of is it an escupa on addresses or not. You can carry pachas medalamas, right? But in this, right. Well, so what we're saying, if the halacha is like Rabba. If the halacha is like Rabba, then it means, in other words, we're saying, so even if the end of it is outside of four amos, we might allow it, because even the end of it is outside four amos, we might allow it because of Bizoyan Kisvei HaKodesh. Whether if it's within four amos, then all the better. Then all the better. Yeah, so then, yeah. Okay. Right, but what we're saying over here is Rabba is not making that distinction between four amos and less, because, again, in Rabba's scenario, we're talking about that the iskupa is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So four amos doesn't matter one way or the other. Either the question is not so much carrying it four amos in Rosh Hashanah Abim. The question is getting it from Rosh Hashanah Abim into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And still, Rabba is allowing it because it's an eskupa on addresses. And because, why? Because we're relying on the heter of oig de biyodi, because one end of it is in your hand. Right. Doesn't matter now. Okay. Okay, so the question is, I hochi toich dalar amas nami nigzer. Okay, so then in that case, though, according to Abaya's answer, that there's a difference between whether the end of it is more than four amas away from the iskupa. Remember, according to him, the iskupa is a caramelist, or within four amas. So I hochi toich dalar amas nami nigzer. Shouldn't we also make xera even if it's within four amas? Dilma ma'ayom l'shas harabim l'shas yachid. Because you might take it from Rosh Hashanah Abim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Meaning, in other words, what are you going to do? It's the whole. Let's say the whole thing falls into Rosh Hashanah Abim. You pick it up. You walk over the iskupa and walk it back into your house with it, and then you've carried something from Rosh Hashanah Abim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about whether that. Wait. The chi tema kibin de mafsakas caramelus leslan bar. You might answer, okay, so what's the problem? You're walking over a caramelus in between. Therefore, there's no issu in it, at least not an issu daraisa, and therefore, there's nothing to make a xera on. No. Va omar rova. But don't we find that Rava says Hamaver Chefetz Mitchilas Arba LaSoif Arba? If a person moves something in Rishos Rabim a distance of 4 amos, the Havira Derech Olav, where the whole time he was carrying it above his head, more than 10 tfachim off the ground, Chayev. So he's still Chayev. Now remember, 10 tfachim above the ground in Rishos Rabim is Makom Ptur. And we're still saying that even though he brought it from Rishos HaRabim and then picked it up and carried it above 10 tfachim and carried it 4 amos in Rishos HaRabim, he's still chayev, even though the whole 4 amos was actually carried in Makom Ptur. Okay, so one second. So therefore, by the same logic over here, so even though he took it through Makom Ptur, there was no Hanocha in the Makom Ptur, so that doesn't change anything. The same way, there was no Hanocha on the Eskupa over here. Okay, so he's walking on the Eskupa versus there, he's not walking in Makom Ptur. What's the difference? The point is, either way, there was no Hanocha in Makom Ptur or in Carmelus, as the case may be. As Rashi points out, we learned in Masechta Shabbos that if he stands over there lofush in order to take a breath, in order to take a break, then fine, you would say there was a hanocha over there. But he's not necessarily going to do that when he went down into Rishos HaRabim to get the sefer. So now, again, the question is on, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, who says in our Mishnah that there are certain shvusim, there are certain dirabanans that we're still going to impose, even though we're dealing with Kisvei HaKodesh. Not like Rabbi Shimon, who says no shvus can stand in the way of Kisvei HaKodesh. So now, you're telling me then that if the end of it is within 4 amos of the Eskupa, then you're okay because then all you're doing is taking from Rishos HaRabim into Karmelus and that's only an Issu D'Rabbanan. But what would happen if the whole thing fell into Rishos HaRabim? And then, so fine, taking it into Karmelus wouldn't be an Issu. But if then you continued walking and took it into Rishos HaYachid, there would be an Issu. Why aren't we Gozer according to Rabbi Yehuda in that case as well, that we shouldn't do it? Because you might have that case where the whole thing falls and then you carry it. And again, you can't say because he's walking on the Eskupa and that takes away the Issu, because it doesn't take away the Issu, as Rava is saying. Tosfos has a different explanation of this Havira Derech Olav. Here, and in Masechet Shabbos, Tosfos explains, you're not talking about like Rashi is saying he's walking along in Rishos HaRabim and holding something above 10 tefachim. You're talking about that he stands still in Rishos HaRabim and he takes something from one side of him and brings it over and in front of him and puts it down on the other side in front and puts it down on the other side of him. So in Rishos HaRabim we're talking about. So he transferred it a total of 4 amos, but he himself didn't move. Tosfos says that's a little more similar. That's a little more similar to our case over here but also the point is Tosfos says if it was like Rashi saying that we're talking about he's walking along, then the Gemara could have brought more easily. You have a Gemara in Shabbos, for example, that mentions that if you take something from Rishos HaRab, from Rishos HaYachid and walk through Carmelus and deposit it in Rishos HaRabim, then you're chayiv. That's more similar to our case of walking on the Eskupa over here. So the fact that instead the Gemara is bringing the Rava's din, Tosfos says that actually what we're talking about over here is that he's standing in one place and moving and bringing it across. You would think that the fact that so in Rashi's scenario there's less of a reason to think that's munach. After all, you're walking the whole time. Here though, you're standing still. You would think maybe it's considered munach where you are. No, we're saying it's not. The same thing over here is we're saying that you're walking through the Eskupa, we don't consider it to be that it was put down over there. So therefore, we'd still be chayev. So the answer is, hochab mayaskin and the Eskupa arucha. The answer is, we're talking about over here about a long Eskupa. There is a long distance from the house and from the Rishos HaRabim to the house. Ada hochi v'hochi midker. Because even if he drops the whole thing in Rishos HaRabim and then he picks it up, by the time as he's walking along the Eskupa, the likelihood is that he's going to remember, hey, wait a second, it's Shabbos, I can't bring it back into the house, and then he'll stop there on the Eskupa, and having stopped there, he did Hanacha. So now, therefore, there won't be an Issu D'oraisa involved. So Adahochi, Vahochi Midko, as he's walking along the length of the Eskupa, then he'll remember that he can't bring it in. The Iboyesema, or another possibility, La'olam be'iskupa she'en arucha, we could say we're talking about an iskupa that's not so long, it's the regular size, it's just 4 tefachim. But ustam kisrei hakodesh ayuni ma'ayin bahu umanach lahu. When it comes to kisrei hakodesh, a person is likely to look into them, and then he's doing hanocha. In other words, what's going to happen? He picks up the sefer from Rishus Rabim. He was, after all, he was in the middle of reading it. He was in the middle of learning something from it. So now, as he's walking back into the house with the sefer, he's likely to think to himself while he's standing on the eskupa, hey, one second, let me check up what I was just looking at. And then he's standing there a minute. So therefore he's not doing an akira from Rishus Rabim and hanocha and Rishus Yochid. He's doing hanocha and kamalus in between. Therefore, we can allow it. It's also possible he might go back to the Eskupa to learn, right? But even if he decides, you know what, I don't want to take the chance of dropping it again, let me just go inside the house, he's likely to stand someplace on the Eskupa and look at it, and then look at it for a moment before he goes inside. So the question is, if that's the case, in that case, don't you have the opposite problem? He might stand there in Rishus Rabim, look at it, then he walks directly back into the house. Now he's doing Akira and Hanocha, as far as that he was going to look into the Kisrei HaKodesh. He already did that in Rishus Rabim. So how does that help? I know, but still, you still need. Okay, the answer is, Homani ben Azaihi. The answer is, we have to say that this is going according to Ben Azai, Do'oma Mahalach Ka'oimet Yomi. We learned in Masechta Shabbos, Ben Azai holds, when a person is walking, it's considered as though he's standing, because every time he takes a step, he's putting his foot down and then picking it up, so it's considered as though he's standing. Now, we learned in Masechta Shabbos, Tosfos brought over there, actually, so Tosfos discusses over there, according to Ben Azai, how can you ever be chayav for carrying 4 amos in Rishus Rabim? So Tosfos brings there from the Yerushalmi, that according to Ben Azai, you're right, the only way you could be chayav for 4 amos in Rishus Rabim is if you jump from one end of 4 amos to the other. Tosfos says the Bavli evidently disagrees with it. The Gemara Bavli evidently disagrees with that, because it never brings that concept. The Gemara Bavli would say that even Ben Azai would agree, when it comes to carrying 4 amos in Rishus Rabim, that then you chayav even though you took steps in between. When is Ben Azai saying that your potter is when you're going through another Rishus? Like in our case over here, you're picking something up from Rishus Rabim and then stop and then walking through a kamalus and bring it to Rishus Yachid, then Ben Azai would say Mahalach Ka'oimid, the fact that you're walking on the kamalus, it's still considered as though you stopped over there and therefore you'd be potter. So that would be the case over here. So we don't have to worry yet. So it comes out, according to Rashi, that the Gemara is changing its mind. Before we said that the reason was because he's likely to stop on the way over there and look into the sefer, but then we're asking what happens if he does that in Rosh Hashanah instead. So the Gemara is giving a different answer. It doesn't matter. Even if he stops in Rosh Hashanah, he's not going to be chayev on a daraisa level, because according to Ben Azai, because he is walking through Kaimelis. The problem with that, Marsha says, in that case, usually the Gemara should say Ella in that case, having given an answer, and then we're giving a different answer, the Gemara should say Ella Mani Ben Azai. Tosfos instead gives a different explanation, that what we're talking about over here is, again, Tosfos, who explained Derech Olav just before, that it means that he's standing in one place and moving it from one side to another, so there's no Mahalach Ka'oimid, so the Gemara needs both parts of the answer, that the Gemara needs both parts of the answer, that he's standing on the Eskupa, that he's standing on the Eskupa, and according to Ben Azai, Mahalach Ka'oimid Domi, and therefore that even if he stands in Rishus Rabim and reads it, then it doesn't matter because he's going to be Mahalach Ka'oimid. So Marsha says, in a way, Tosfos' answer is better, because then it explains why the Gemara doesn't use the word Ella, because it's using both answers together. On the other hand, there's a klal that the Rishonim say in a few places that the Gemara only uses the word Ella when we had the first answer was from one of the Amoraim. When it names an Amora who says an answer, and then the Gemara rejects it, then the Gemara will say Ella, let's give a different answer. But when the first answer was from the Sum of the Gemara, like it is over here, the Gemara will not necessarily say Ella. So not necessarily does that prove that Tosfos' explanation fits better with the words of the Gemara. Again, that's why the whole reason we're allowing in the first place is because one end of it is in his hand. But again, we're talking about what Zeris do we have to make in order to guard against the case where the whole thing fell into Rosh Hashanah, and that's what we're discussing over here, yeah. Okay. So the question is, v'dilma zorik l'hu mizrak. Okay, but don't you have a different problem, though? Let's say he stands in Rishus Rabim, looks at the sefer, sees what he needs to, and then he throws it into the house. Then he would be carrying from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid without going through Kamalus. There we can't say even according to Ben Azai, mahalach ka'im adami, because he's not walking, he's throwing it. No, that doesn't... No, and that doesn't matter anyway. If you throw it above 10 tefachim, you're still chayev, because you can't. You're still throwing from one rishus into another. The answer is the Rabbi Yochanan moed ben Azai b'zorik. As we see that Rabbi Yochanan says ben Azai would agree that if you throw something four amos in rishus rabim, or if you throw something from one rishus to another, then you're chayev. Amr of Acha Ba'ava, sort of Acha or of Ada, it says on the side, Ba'ava says, Zois Emeres Ein Mezarkin Kisra HaKodesh. From here we can learn, you're not allowed to throw Kisra HaKodesh, so there's no concern that he's going to throw it. The only question is that he might carry it in. And again, if we go according to Ben Azai, then we say carrying it in, walking through the Eskupa, is not going to make him Chayev because Mahalach Ko'im Adami. If he remembers it's Shabbos, then there's no... Right, then he'll stop on the Eskupa. The point is, we were saying, what if he doesn't remember that? Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Hoya Koda Beresha Gag B'chula, we said that if he's sitting on top of his roof and reading, and we said it depends whether the end of it, we said if the end of it is within 10 tefachim of the ground, then the Tanakhama said you can only turn it over onto the writing. You can't actually pick it back up because the end of it is considered to be in Rishus HaRabim, because within 10 tefachim of the ground is Rishus HaRabim. So the question is, Umishori, since when are you allowed to turn a sefer over on its face anyway? Well, Tanya, we learn in a brisa. Kos ve'svarim tefillin mezuzos, sofrim who are writing sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos, lo yitiru lehen lapach yuri al panah, the chachamim did not allow. Now you finish writing a yuri, you finish writing a sheet of the sefer Torah. You have to leave it aside to dry. You can't turn it over onto, you can't overturn it onto its front. And that's in itself is a bazillion, exactly. Elapotus alayos a beged. You cover it with a cloth. So why don't we say over here you cover it with a cloth? So the answer is hosam efsher, hachalai efsher. The answer is there we're talking about it's possible. Here we're talking about it's not possible. Rashi explains here we're talking about you don't have a beged available to cover it with. So therefore, the next best thing to do is to cover it. Tosfos says, never mind that. The same reason why you can't roll it back is the same reason why you can't put a beged, because you can't put a beged where one end of it is going to be hanging down into the shesarabim. The Eloi Apich, so if you don't turn it over, Iki Bizoyan Kisra Kodesh today, then you have a tremendous Bizoyan for the Sefer. So therefore, in this case, the Chachamim will allow you, since you have no alternative, then the Chachamim will allow you to turn it over. No. Rolling up, again, remember, imagine you have a Sefer Torah. One end of it, one end of the parchment has rolled off and now is hanging down from the roof. Hoif chalaksav means you turn it over so that the side with the writing is facing down towards the wall and towards the roof. Yeah. According to the Tanakhama, we're not talking about that the whole thing is sitting in Rishus HaRabim. We're talking about that it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, but it's not Achim. Right. So in a skupa, we said before, we talked about that you might be able to bring it back in, but you're right. I mean, you'd have to maneuver it so that you're able to actually turn as much, well, at least you turn as much as possible of it over, yeah. In this connection, by the way, when you've written a yuriya of a sefer Torah, you shouldn't turn it over, you should cover it with a cloth. Alachas kama v'kama, the post can say, you shouldn't just leave it open, you should cover it with something. So we learn from that also that when it comes to Sfarim, you shouldn't leave a sefer open and leave the room. In fact, the Shach in this connection brings, in these halachas in Yeridea, he says there's a malach called Shed. So Shed stands for Shomer Dapim, that he guards over, that when a person leaves a sefer open, then the malach gets involved over there and causes him to forget his learning. So therefore, it's important when you finish learning to close your sefer. Achronim talked about different possible details about it. Maybe it doesn't apply. Maybe it only applies if you're leaving the room. Maybe it doesn't apply if you're getting up and doing something else in the same room. Maybe it doesn't apply if reopening it is going to make you forget where you were holding, whatever. But even so, it's still better to cover the sefer with something like we're saying over here. We said a hoif chelaksav. We said that if the according to the Tanakama, if the end of it is within 10 tefachim of the ground, then you can't bring it back to you. Then you just have to turn it over and have the writing face down. So the question is, why? What's the problem? V'holay noch. After all, it didn't land on the ground. What's the problem? So there shouldn't even be an Isur Dirabanan to bring it back in. Yes, the end of it is within 10 tefachim of the ground, but it's not actually landing on the ground in Rosh Hashanah. Doesn't matter. Well, so now, no, it shouldn't matter if it's less than three. You have like this. We learned in Masech the Shabbos of Machloikas, Rabbi Akiva, and the Chachamim about Kluter Kamisha Huncha. Suppose you have, let's say a person throws something from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another through Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and it goes through the airspace of Rosh Hashanah Rabim, or vice versa. Do we consider it that it's as if it landed on the ground, and therefore he'd be chayim? So Rabbi Akiva says yes, the Chachamim say no. So fine, our Gemara, we could easily say we're talking according to Rabbi Akiva. But Tosva says the Gemara would prefer to make this din work in the Mishnah according to the Chachamim as well. That klot alav kamisha huncha. So therefore, the question is, if it didn't land on the ground, it's not actually landed in Rosh Hashanah Abim, so what's the problem? The answer is Amar Rava b'koisel meshupa. So Rava says, because we're not talking about over here a straight wall. We're talking about over here about a wall that's on an angle. So it's on an angle, and so therefore what happens is, so now the end of the sefer is actually on the angle of the wall. So now it's considered as though it actually landed in Rosh Hashanah Abim. Even though it's still on the property of the building, yeah. So actually, you have a discussion among Rishonim about this. Are we talking about specifically when that inclined wall is used by the Rabbim to use Lakatif Olav, that they use it regularly in order to adjust their burdens, or does it apply more generally even as long as it's within 10 tefachim of the ground and it is a place where it's capable of landing, then it's considered that it actually landed in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim even if the Rabbim don't regularly use this. Right, that's right. So Amalei Abai b'mayu kimtel masnisin b'koisel meshupa. So Abai says, so what are you explaining? That the Mishnah is talking about a case of a wall that's inclined. Ema sefer. Then look at the next part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer afilo ena masulach mina oretz ela malaya chut goylele etzlo. Rabbi Yehuda said, even if it's only the width of a thread off the ground, or in the Mishnah we said actually said machat was a needle, same thing, whatever. The point is, even if it's only a tiny bit off the ground, goylele etzlo v'hanochle. What do you mean? It landed because the koisel is inclined. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda should agree it's considered it landed in Rosh Hashanah Abim. Why is he saying as long as it didn't actually touch the ground, then you should be allowed to bring it back in? Who cares whether it touched the ground? The answer is chasuri mechsera. The Mishnah is missing words. V'hachi katani. It means to say like this. V'amed v'orim amurim. When is this talking about? B'kosel meshupa. That when can you not bring it back in? If it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, is if it's an inclined wall. Aval b'kosel she'ena meshupa. But if it's a not inclined wall, it's a wall that goes straight up and down, then l'mayla mishloisha goyla yetzloi. Then, like you said, there's a difference of 3 tefachim or not. If it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, the Tanakama will say that it's considered as though it landed on the ground. L'mata mishloisha hoifchelaksav. And if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, now it's considered it landed on the ground, because 3 tefachim is lavud, like you said. So therefore, you would just have to turn it over. And then the Mishnah continues. Now, the two dots we have over here are a mistake, because the Gemara is still continuing to explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinions. So, like this, we only explain the Tanakama. So the two dots over here, it's not that the Gemara is stopping with that and now quoting the next part of the Mishnah in order to explain the next part. Continuing explaining that Rabbi Yehuda Omer afilo ena masulach mina oretz v'chola, that Rabbi Yehuda says even if it's only a tiny bit off the ground, why? Because he says ve'inan hanocha agali mashu, because after all it has to have landed on something, and like this it didn't land on anything because you're talking about a vertical wall, if it was a kosel meshupa. Then we would say that as long as it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, then you can't pick it up anymore. And Rabbi Yehuda would agree to that. But if it's a koisel she'ena meshupa, if it's a completely vertical wall, then you have the question 3 tefachim or maloi machat, and the Tanakama says 3 tefachim because then it's lavud, and Rabbi Yehuda says maloi machat because the fact is it didn't actually land. So the question is the elahod. So if we're explaining the machlokas that way, Rabbi Yehuda requires it to actually land on the ground to be considered that it's in the other rishus, and the Tanakama is saying that as long as it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, then it's considered in that rishus. The problem with that is the Elohad Amar Rava. What about a din that Rava said? Toich Shloisha L'Rabbanan Tzarech Hanocha. This din of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, where they're arguing on Kluta Kamisha Huncha, what happens if it skims the ground within three Tvachim of the ground? Even then, the Rabbanan will still say he's only Chayiv if it actually landed on something. The thing doesn't have to be 4x4 Tvachim. Fine, because it's within three Tvachim of the ground. But the Chachamim still say it has to land on something. So if, for example, so Rashi brings from the Gemara over there, let's say before it actually landed on anything, it got burnt or a dog ate it or whatever, then the Chachamim would say that he's potter, because the Chachamim still require it in the case of the that would have to be, by the way, we learned in the Gemara over there, would have to be, he didn't intend to throw it into the fire or into the dog's mouth or whatever, otherwise he's chayev anyway, because that's because he considered it important. But we're talking about he threw it, he didn't intend for it to land in the fire or in the dog's mouth, and it did. So then the Chachamim going to say he's potter because it didn't land within three tefachim on the ground of the ground on anything. So Rava is saying that the Chachamim will say that even though it's within three tefachim of the ground to be chayiv, it has to have landed on something. Lema katanoi amir l'shmaite. Would we have to say that what Rava is saying is only according to some tanoim? It comes out it would be only according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakama of our Mishnah would disagree with that. We would rather say that what Rava is saying works out, works according to everybody. The answer is Ela Kula Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is we can say the entire Mishnah is actually according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's no three opinions over here, Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. There's only two opinions. That whole part of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chasuri Masur, the Mishnah is missing words. Bahachi Katani, it means like this. Like we said before, Bamedvar Mamur Makosim Lashuppah, when are we talking about that it's a difference of whether it was within 10 Tfachim of the ground or not, is if it's an inclined wall. Alva Bakosil Sha'ena Mashuppah, but if it's a straight wall, Afila Pachas Mishloisha Tfachim Golay Atzlai, then even if it's within 3 Tfachim of the ground, you can roll it back to you. Sher Rabbi Yehuda Olima, because Rabbi Yehuda says, never mind 3 Tfachim, Afila Ena Masulak Minaritz. Even if it's only a hair's breadth off the ground, go to light etzlo, then you can still roll it back to yourself. My timer, why is that? To put in an androcha, gabi mashu. Because in order to be chayev d'oraisa, the whole thing had fallen, it would have to be that it all fell, that it fell on something, and here it didn't. It's hanging in the air over there, and since you have that, plus the fact that oydze biyode, the other end of it, is in your hand, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow you to bring it back in. So that's the thing. So we have actually three things for the good. It's Kisvei HaKodesh, it's Oig Debi Yodeh, the other end of it is in your hand, and it wasn't Noch Al Gavi Mashu. So all those things taken together, Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow you to do it. Even Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow it. Rabbi Shimon is even more Mekel and says even if it landed on the ground. So in other words, we're saying that there's no Chachamim versus Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda himself is distinguishing. He's saying if it's an inclined wall, so then there was an actual Hanocha, then not, because it was within 10 Tfachim of the ground, and therefore we can't allow you to be Oigran Isuda. So that's kind of fine. It's not a complete Isuda Raisa, because you still have Oig Debiyade. But still, he doesn't like the idea of relying only on Oig Debiyade, because the fact is, what happens if it wasn't Oig Debiyade, then you might come to do it, even if the whole thing fell. And then you would be over on an Issa D'Oraisa. So he makes a Xera. So however, if it's Oig Debiyode, and it's a vertical wall, so it's not landing on anything, it didn't land on anything, and it didn't even land in Rosh Hashanah Abim, together with the fact that it's Kisvei HaKodesh, he says, fine, you can bring it back in. Reb Shimon will say, we're not making any Xeris anyway, as long as Oig Debiyode, which prevents it from ever being an Issa D'Oraisa, then it doesn't matter even if the other end of it landed on the ground, you can still bring it back in.
Why is Rabbi Yehuda saying there's no anacha, by the way?
Because the fact is it didn't land on the ground. We just said, Rava had said that according to the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Akiva, you need an actual hanacha on something. So again, if the wall is inclined, then there is hanocha, because now you have the sefer actually landed on something. But if you say that, but if the wall is vertical, so then the end of the sefer has not landed on anything. Therefore, you're allowed to. The halacha is like that, by the way. So in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions this matter of koisel meshuva. Of that, when is it also? If it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, only if it's an inclined wall. But if it's a vertical wall, then you're allowed to bring it back as long as the other end of it is not actually on the ground. Because again, you need hanocha, and here you don't have hanocha, so here you have, there's no hanocha, and there's oig debiyode, and it's kisvei HaKodesh, so for all those reasons, we can be mekel.
So So what's the difference whether the wall is tilted or not? It's a question
if
of anacha.
Tilted, because if the wall is tilted, then the anacha takes place on the wall itself. And if the wall is not tilted, there's no place for anacha. It's hanging on the side over there. Okay. Mishnah says, Ziz shalifnei chaloin. If you have a ledge in front of a window, and then the ledge is large enough to be a reshus hayachid by itself, it's at least 10 tefachim off the ground, it's at least 4x4. Noistin olive and noitlin mimena b'shabbos, then you would be allowed to the people who live behind that window, the people who live in that house, in the house that has that window, are allowed to put things on the ledge and take them off it on Shabbos because it's reshus hayachid. So the Gemara asks, "Hi ziz de matzik lahecha? Where exactly is this ziz facing to that we have to say the din? E lema de matzik l'rishus harabim? Are we talking about that it's facing towards rishus harabim? Fine, okay, it's a rishus hayachid. Very nice, but leichos yomen nafal v'osil isui. Shouldn't we make a gzeira that you shouldn't be allowed to put things on it because if they fall into rishus harabim, you might forget and go and get them?" So that it can't be that it's talking about it faces Rosh Hashanah. Ela the mapik Rosh Hashanah. If you're talking about that the ziz faces Rosh Hashanah, pshita. And obviously the ziz is a Rosh Hashanah. Underneath it is also Rosh Hashanah. What's the problem? And if we were going to be talking about that it was a, if Tosfos adds, if we were going to be talking about that it was a camelus or a different chotzer where there was no eruv, okay, so then we have to talk about, do we make a gzera l'gzera in this case? And we'll talk about that point tomorrow, Bez Hashem, to what extent do the Chachamim say that sometimes we make a gzera l'gzera and what do we not? But that's the question. The point is, it's more than if it falls, you're gonna go bring it from Rosh Hashanah back into Rosh Hashanah and be over on it. Isra Shabbos. So Amar Abaya la'olam de mapik Rosh Hashanah. So Abaya says we are in fact talking about where it faces Rosh Hashanah. Umay noisin all of the katani. So what kind of kalim do we mean that you can put on it? Kalim hanishborim. Kalim where if they fall, they're gonna break. So then, well, not necessarily cheap ones, just like earthenware or glass or whatever. Yeah. So therefore, even if it falls, then no problem. You're not going to bring back in the broken pieces. So then there's no reason to make a gzeira. In fact, Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn a braisa exactly like that. Ziz shalifnei achaloin ayotze l'rishus harabim. If there's a ledge in front of the window that faces towards rishus harabim, noisin olav ka'oris v'koisis, you're allowed to put on it bowls or cups, which are made out of earthenware usually, kitonius etzloichius, or jugs or bottles. So we see that you're only allowed because all these things are breakable, like Abaya says. Then the braisa continues, umishtamish b'chol ha'koisel ad asara atachtonim, the person living in the house is allowed to use the entire wall down to the bottom 10 tefachim. Rashi says we're talking about if the ziz is much wider than the window. The ziz is not necessarily only in front of the window, like we were saying until now. You could have there's the window, and then the ziz sticks out on both sides of it. You're allowed to use the parts of it that stick out beyond the window as well. Tosfos says that, no, the minimum width of it has to be 4 tefachim. That's the question. We have to figure out. 1 second. Tosfos says that no. What we're talking about if there are holes in the wall. Aside from the ziz, there may be holes in the wall which you can reach down through your window and put things in the holes or take things out of. You're allowed to do that down to the bottom most 10 tefachim of the wall. The bottom most 10 tefachim of the wall are considered to belong to Rosh Hashanah. You were mentioning a minute ago about the ladder. Actually, it's interesting. The Alter Rebbe mentions in a Kuntres Acharon in this connection. If the ziz, or the holes, are within 10 tefachim of the ground, why do they belong to the B'nai Rosh Hashanah? On the face of it, you have ownership of them. Why are the B'nai Rosh Hashanah able to take them away from you? Well, the answer is that the Rebbe explains, because the fact that it's one thing when we talked about before, let's say about a roof that faces towards Rosh Hashanah, and you make a ladder over there showing that you intend to have use of the roof, so therefore making the ladder shows that you have that use. The fact that you have a window open doesn't show that you intend to use this ziz exclusively, because the fact is people make windows in their houses for a lot of reasons. You want air, you want light, etc. So having the window in and of itself doesn't demonstrate your bilos over this ziz. So if it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, then no, it belongs to the B'nai Rosh Hashanah, or at least it belongs jointly to you and them, and therefore you can't put anything on it because of the problem of Erevin. So therefore, so even though the ziz is large enough to be Rosh Hashanah Yachid, maybe, nevertheless, because it's within 10 tefachim of the ground in Rosh Hashanah Abim, then it's considered part of Rosh Hashanah Abim and you can't use it yet. Okay, so anyway, continues the braisa. The im yesh ziz echod l'mata mimenu, suppose there's another ziz, another ledge lower down on the wall than the one in front of your window, mishtamish boy, then you're allowed to use that one. Uva elyon, ein mishtamish boy ela k'neged chaloinoi. The upper one, though, you're only allowed to use the part that's in front of your window. So we have to figure out what's the scenario. Hai ziz hechidami. What's the scenario we're talking about over here with the upper ziz? What size? The upper ziz, the one that's in front of your window, what size is it? If it's less than 4 tefachim wide, makam turhu, then it should be a makam turhu, and vafilu kineged chaloine nami lo yishtamish, so you shouldn't even be allowed to use the part in front of your window. In other words, Rashi says it's one thing if you were using it as a temporary thing, like we've learned before, that for example, you're in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, you're carrying something, it's a heavy burden, you want to put it down a second to adjust it, and you put it down in makam turhu, then fine. But here you have the problem that you're going to put kalim on it, you still have the problem that because it's less than 4 tefachim wide, Rashi learns, if you put kalim on it, if they fall, and they're very likely to fall because the ziz is less than 4 tefachim wide, then you would be like you're carrying directly from Rosh Hashanah Yachid into Rosh Hashanah Abim. It's even if they're breakable kalim, fine, you don't have the problem that you're going to go downstairs and pick it up and bring it back in. But just the fact that you put them on there in the first place should be the equivalent of taking something from Rosh Hashanah Abim, from Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and putting it directly into Rosh Hashanah Abim, because it's so narrow that things are very likely to fall off it as soon as you put them there. So how can we allow that even in front of your window? So you shouldn't even be allowed to put to use the part in front of your window. Yeah, but now we're saying it's not a matter of cheap kalim anymore. Now we're saying, even though, because just the fact that the ziz is less than 4 wide means automatically putting something on it, which is very likely to fall into Rosh Hashanah Abim, it amounts to that you've taken something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid and put it directly into Rosh Hashanah Abim, and you can't do that. The E is be'arba, if the upper ziz is 4 tefachim wide, b'kula kosa l'shamish, then what's the problem? You should be able to use the whole width of it, like we were saying before. Why is the fact that there's another ziz underneath it make a difference? Amar Abaya, so Abaya says, because the case is tachtin de is be'arba, the elyon less be'arba, because the case is, the lower ziz further down the wall is 4 tefachim wide, the elyon less be'arba, the upper one itself is not 4 tefachim wide, v'chaloyne mashlimato the dalid. But if you add the thickness of the wall, then you have full 4 tefachim. So let's say the ziz is only 3 tefachim wide, but the thickness of the wall gives you another tefach. The wall of the house, with which the window is open in, gives you another, let's say the window sill is an extra tefach. So k'neged chaloin mishtamish, so you would be allowed to use the part in front of the window, d'chorei chaloinu, because that's just considered an extension of the window. The same way as you're allowed to put something in the window itself, the same way, the extra 3 tefachim of it that stick out, you'd be allowed to put something over there. Da hai gisa osur, but the parts on the two sides, those would be also because those are less than 4 tefachim wide, because again, there you don't have the window making up the 4th tefach, so there you're back to the problem that if you put something on there, it's likely to fall off and land in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and therefore you've taken something from Rosh Hashanah Yachid, from your house, and put it directly into Rosh Hashanah Abim, and you can't do that. So that's the case over here we're talking about. That so that's why you can only use the lower ziz, because the lower ziz is 4 tefachim wide. The upper ziz, you can only use the part in front of your window, only the area where together with the window it's 4 tefachim wide, but not anything else. Tosfos learns a little bit differently, that if it's 4 tefachim wide, you would actually be allowed to put even kalim she'enim nishbarim. In that case, now the Rambam has a whole different understanding of the situation with the two zizim. The Rambam understands that the problem we have over here is that the two zizim belong to two different people. And therefore you have a problem of Erev, therefore you have an issue of Erev Chatzeres, right? So the Rambam's Girsa is the opposite of the way we have it in the Gemara over here. The case is that the lower one is not 4 tefachim wide and the upper one is 4 tefachim wide. So then the lower one is not asur in the upper one, therefore you're allowed to use the upper one. But if the lower one itself is 4 tefachim wide, then it would asur the upper one, because now you have the both of them are sharing the same rishus, and therefore they would have to make an erev chatzeros if he wants to use his ziz at all. No, we're talking about it's above 10 tefachim from Moshe's Rabbim, but they're both above 10 tefachim from Moshe's Rabbim, but you still have that one of them is oyster on the other because they're both Rishus Yachid, but they're both Rishus Yachid where they're able to use each other. He's able to reach out of his window and use the other's is, and therefore you're going to have an issue if the lower one is 4 tefachim wide, unless the next can 8 of Chatzeres. That is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. No, because we learned before, according to Rav, we learned before, the fact that one is easier to use and the other one is harder to use doesn't necessarily make a difference unless we have. If one of them is really easy to use, it's like a Pesach, and the other one, then maybe we say. But if both of them are a little bit difficult to use, then we would say that then we would say they do Asur on each other. Okay. Yeah.